All right, good morning, happy Palm Sunday, and welcome to Engage Church. My name is Pastor Mike, and I know I say that every week, but I anticipate a day when this church is full, and we have 25 new people that have never been here before, and they don't know our name, they don't know who I am, they don't know who you are. So we're going to continue to act like we have new visitors every single day in this church. And as you continue to hand out the invite cards, guess what's going to happen? More people are going to come. If you invite them, they will come, right? So there's your invitation to grab an invitation card to go and be put feet to the gospel, as Jake said last week. Let's put feet to the gospel and invite people to church this Sunday. I am so thankful that each and every one of you chose to join us today for worship. There's nothing like worshiping with a body of believers. It's better than when I'm by myself in the car, trust me. But today we find ourselves in the third chapter of the book of Ruth. And so if you have your Bibles with you today, and I hope you do or someone next to you has one that you can share with, find your way to Ruth chapter 3. And while you turn there, I want to share with you one of the main features of the book of Ruth is redemption. It is redemption. The kinsman redeemer role of Boaz is one of the clearest Old Testament illustrations of how Jesus Christ would later pay for our lives and free us from sin at the cost of his own life on the cross. Well, how does this tie into Palm Sunday? Well, I promise I'll get there. There's a tie together here. But this is the clearest Old Testament illustration of Jesus as our Redeemer. We have been reading in our Bible reading plan about kinsman redeemer. We've heard several times through Deuteronomy and Numbers about the kinsman redeemer. And with it being Palm Sunday, we're going to look at how Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. Because he is our Redeemer. We know that. We're on the back side of this. But if we are to define what the kinsman redeemer was, here's how you define it. By definition, a kinsman redeemer was someone who redeemed what was lost. This could be the other person's property, it could be their freedom, and it could even be their name. The kinsman might actually be called upon to go and revenge someone. So if someone who killed their relative, they may have been called on to go and be the avenger of blood, to go and avenge the killing of their relative. So in short, the kinsman was a rescuer and a restorer. This was not a passive obligation. This was not a passive choice, nor was it something that was entered into lightly. Let's get to our scripture this morning. I'm going to jump through. I'll tell you the verses that I'm reading, but we're going to kind of work our way through chapter 3, starting with verse 1. It says, "Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, 'My daughter, should I not seek rest for you, that it may be well with you?' Verse 2, 'Is not Boaz our relative, with whose young women you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor.' Verse 3, 'Wash, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your cloak, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking.' Verse 4, 'But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies, then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do.' Verse 8, 'At midnight, the man was startled and turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. Verse 9, he said, 'Who are you?' And she answered, 'I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer.' Verse 10, and he said, 'May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich.' Verse 11, 'And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman.' Verse 12, 'And now it is true that I am a redeemer, yet there is a redeemer nearer than I.' Verse 13, 'Remain tonight and in the morning. If he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until the morning. Verse 16, and when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, how did you fare, my daughter? Then she told her all that the man had done for her. Verse 18, she replied, wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out. For the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today. So to be a kinsman redeemer, there were four requirements that had to be met. We're going to go through those. The first one, they had to be kin. So they had to be a relative. John, you can't redeem me if I'm lost. Okay? That won't work. I would have to call my dad, or Alicia would have to find somebody else in my family, and well, there's not a whole lot. So she might be hopeless. I don't know. But they had to be kin. So the only way someone could be a kinsman redeemer was that they had to be of the same family. There had to be some sort of relational ties that tied them together. So think of it like this. They had to be of the same kind. They had to be the same kind. Someone from another family could not bring about redemption because they were of a different kind. The second, the Redeemer had to be willing. In the story of Ruth and Boaz, what we just read, Boaz said, there is a Redeemer nearer. If he'll redeem you, good. But if not, then I will. So that tells us that the Redeemer had to be willing to redeem. Now, if we read further, we would know that the next Redeemer in line is simply unwilling to follow through with the redemption of Ruth. And if you found the person was not willing, they could not be forced to do it. Being willing is at the heart of what a kinsman redeemer is. It's a heart issue. Okay? Keep that in mind in just a little bit. The third, they had to be able to redeem. Not only did they have to be willing, but they had to be able to redeem. Willingness alone was not enough to be a kinsman redeemer. They actually had to follow through with the redemption. They could only be the redeemer if they had the financial means to make the redemption. It did not matter how good their intentions were. They had to be able to follow through. The fourth requirement to be a kinsman redeemer. Not only did they have to be able to do it, but they had to pay the price in full. Are you getting an idea of where we're going? They had to pay the price in full. There was no such thing as a partial redemption regarding being a kinsman redeemer. Unless the total price was paid, there was no redemption. It was an all or nothing proposition. All of it or none of it. Now, as we sit here this morning, it's Palm Sunday. And if you know what Palm Sunday is, it's Jesus arriving into Jerusalem on a donkey with shouts of praise and great anticipation. Do we know why? Because they thought that he was coming to set up an earthly kingdom, to overthrow the Roman government, and to put Israel back on the map as God's chosen people. They were worshiping him because they thought that finally it came about that Israel was back on the map. Little did they know, that this was Jesus' final week of earthly ministry before his crucifixion. Everyone around him expected him to get this kingdom and this rulership set up over the Roman Empire. But instead, he came as a kinsman redeemer. He came as our redeemer to give his life as a ransom so that all of us today could be sitting right here in this church hearing this message that we might come to a right relationship with him. He indeed did set up a kingdom, but it was not an earthly kingdom. It was a spiritual, everlasting kingdom that cannot be touched by the by the hands of man. Now, I hope you can recognize, I hope you can see the parallels between Ruth's story, her plight, what she went through, and our own. Because there's a lot of similarities. We are just like Naomi and Ruth in that we are desperate and we are destitute without Jesus. And if you are a Christian today, if you look back prior to Jesus, what was your life? Desperate and destitute. We had no hope. What do we have to hope in when we don't have Jesus? We don't have hope of eternity without Him, do we? I mean, there's eternity, but I don't think we hope for it. And here's the other thing. We were all lost in our sinful condition. We needed someone who could step in and become our Redeemer. Ruth's story and Jesus' entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, it gives us a sense and it gives us a hope for a brighter future and a fulfillment of God's promises because Jesus, our Redeemer, lives. Now this is where Jesus enters as our Redeemer. Let's look at how Jesus met all of the requirements necessary to be our Redeemer. You ready for this? Jesus became like us. What was the first one of the last one? They had to be of the same kind. Because the Redeemer had to be of like kind, Jesus had to become like us. If Jesus did not take on humanity, there would be no way of redemption. There would be no hope. Since sin came into the world through one man, and who was that one man? Anybody know? Adam. Sin came into the world through Adam, so it would take another man to bring about salvation and righteousness, to redeem us. This requires the infinite God, the holy God, to take on human flesh. And this is exactly what Jesus did. In the Gospel of John, we see spelled out very clearly, Jesus became just like me and you, you and me, which put Him in a position of like kind so He could redeem us. In John chapter 1, verse 14, it said, the Word became flesh. Who's the Word? Jesus. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of grace and truth. Jesus, folks, was of like kind. The second one, Jesus was willing to do it. Remember, had to be like kind, and then we had to have a willingness. Jesus was willing to do it. In Philippians chapter 2, we see the willingness of Jesus to become our Redeemer. Let's just read that. Philippians 2, 5 through 8. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to His own advantage. Rather, He made Himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus gave up His life as a sacrifice of His own free will. Nobody was twisting His arm. Listen, when we want our kids to listen, have you ever twisted their arm, like both figuratively and literally? I think I've twisted some ears because we just want it to be done, right? Jesus had no one twisting His arm to do it. He was willing to be obedient. He was willing to see this process all the way through the end, knowing that His entry into Jerusalem meant the cross was coming. If I was Jesus, I would have been hoping for a donkey that didn't know how to go in the direction I was leading it, so it would take me further away from Jerusalem. John 10:18. Jesus says this, "No one takes it from me," he's talking about his life, "but I lay it down of my own accord." I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Third one, Jesus was able to redeem. Having the willingness, as he said earlier, means nothing if you did not have the ability to redeem. Thankfully for this, for us, this was not the case because Jesus was willing. The death and obedience of Jesus was everything that was needed to bring about our redemption. Romans 5:18 through 19. Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in, we just kind of talked about this, condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, we all became sinners because Adam introduced sin into this world, so also through the obedience of the one man, Jesus, the many will be made righteous. The last one, Jesus paid the complete price for our sin. Titus 2:14, he gave his life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, to make us his very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. Listen. If you're not sure where you're at in your relationship with God, if you have sin in your life, I need you to hear this truth right now. He gave his life to free you from every kind of sin, to cleanse us from every kind of sin, to make you his very own people. So if you got some sin that you're hanging on to, he died to free you from that. Wipe your hands of it because you have been freed from it. And I'm very serious when I say that. Listen, you do not have to struggle with sin. Now, there are sins that we struggle with, but what I'm trying to, do not let your sin keep you from approaching Christ Jesus. That's the last thing that you should be doing. Here's the beautiful thing about our redemption. It's a complete redemption. Complete, finished, done. There is nothing else that is needed to complete it or bring it about to pass. Here's the only thing that we must do. We must put our faith in the Redeemer of our soul, and that is put our faith in Christ Jesus. When you do that, then the work, guess what? It's finished. The sin debt that we all owe, paid in full. As Rochelle says, medical bills were just wiped out. Jesus wipes away our sin. When you think about what a kinsman redeemer is, if we bring it down to its finest point, it's all about what was lost being found. Going from no hope to having abundant hope. We were all lost. We were all on the verge of losing everything. Eternal separation from God. But Jesus stepped in. He restored what was lost, and he gave us a new identity through him. The beautiful thing is, you never have to worry about being redeemed again. It's once and forever. Never do you have to worry about being redeemed again. You might need to hear that this morning. You might be in here this morning, you've been struggling in your walk and trying to find Jesus and what all of this means. Listen, he knows where you're at in your situation right now. He knows the path that you walk, And you need to know, He's redeemed you. It's time for us to walk in that redemption. It's time for you to walk in that freedom. And this is even outside for those people that aren't in this church, for the people who don't know this truth, outside of these walls and the communities represented, here's what they need to know. And this is what the heart of engaging our community for Jesus is. They need to know that Jesus redeemed and restored them to a right relationship with Him. Go back to last week with Jake. It's putting feet to the gospel. Isn't that the gospel message? Church, Jesus is our Redeemer. And our Redeemer is alive and well. Amen. If you would you bow your heads and close your eyes this morning? I'm sorry. My question for you this morning is very simple. Have you put your faith in the Redeemer? Have you put your faith in Christ Jesus? Jesus died and rose again for our sins. He died and rose again for your sins. And when we accept Him, when we step into that relationship, we receive forgiveness of our sins at the moment we put faith in Jesus. The Bible says in Acts chapter 16, verse 31, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. So if you've never put your faith in Jesus and you would like to do that today, I would like to pray with you. So if that is you and you don't have that relationship with Jesus, would you please just raise your hand? Amen. Church, here's how I'd like to finish today. Here's how I'd like to close. We have a reason to worship. We have a reason to, we have a reason to celebrate. We have a reason to shout out praises to Jesus because, one, our Redeemer lives. He is alive. He is well. He has redeemed us. He has made us clean before God the Father. He gave His very life for ours. He gave His life for you. And our Redeemer came at just the right time. If you've experienced His grace this morning, and I'm going to put everybody on the spot here. If you've experienced this grace, if you experienced a relationship with Jesus, you know just how much He did for you. And if He did that for you, I say that's worthy of praise. I say that's worthy of taking time to worship Him. So as the worship team leads us, I want to encourage you this morning to worship. Don't get stuck in your seat. Don't let your feet be glued to the floor. Don't let your hands get underneath your butt so nobody... Let me encourage you to worship. Let me encourage you to come out of your seats, come to the altar, in your chair, in the aisle. I don't care. Raise your hands in jubilant worship because our Redeemer lives. Amen? Amen? Amen. Worship team, when you're good and ready here, I apologize I didn't call you up sooner. Folks, while they're getting ready, here's what I want you to do. I want you to look to your left, I want you to look to your right, and I want you to tell the person next to you, our Redeemer lives.